You're listening to episode 68 of the Mad Chatters podcast, January 13th, 2016.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and as always, joining me today are my fellow hosts, Matthew.
Howdy.
And Jeremy.
Is it too late now to say sorry?
I have a confession to make, guys, because I've really been feeling that Disney itch this week, like really bad.
Have you seen your doctor?
Yeah. He said, go to Disney World. But I've been playing the Paint the Night soundtrack just on loop. And I've been looking at all the Walt Disney World resorts like, I could afford that. Yeah, let's go. So I'm just saying.
That's what we all do. When we price our vacation from the get-go, it's like, I could afford that. And then it just gradually goes downhill.
Yeah.
After a day after day.
I have months to save. Months.
I don't need to eat. Yeah. Do I really need electricity this month? No.
That is only one paycheck. That's only one whole paycheck for that one night.
I mean, really, yeah.
But Derek, I sympathize because I think I even texted you that I've had a couple of moments of like, the Disney itch, as you said, hitting me. In fact, I was at work on Sunday, and I was picking the music to listen to in the lobby, so I picked the Disney Pandora station.
Obviously.
And all of a sudden, Julie Andrews comes on singing When You Wish Upon a Star, and I swear to you, it was like a train just like plowed me over. The emotion.
Wait, you were at work or at church?
At work.
What was this? You were picking the music for the lobby.
The lobby of the hotel I frequent.
Yeah. At work. And anyways, I had to like, somebody came out, like, because I was by myself at first. And so I was not like weeping, but you know how like you just like, you feel it kind of well up in the corner because you're like, oh my gosh, I just miss it, you know? And so somebody came out and I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be back. And so I went to the bathroom, had to compose myself. It was emotional.
To be fair, my situation was nothing like that, but I did get that urge to just like check out everything Disney World and go. I think it's because like the Christmas season was so busy that I didn't really have time to think about it. But now, I mean, this is the longest I've ever gone without having a Disney trip, at least tentatively scheduled.
Yes, yeah. But spoiler alert, fans, we might have one on the docket soon. So.
Uh-oh.
Wake the kids, call the neighbors, get excited. The Chatters are returning home.
Like, we don't care. We're going before you are. Anyway, on today's show, we're going to be continuing our series called Do This, Not That. We did it a while back concerning Magic Kingdom. We got lots of good feedback from that show. So this week, we're going to do something kind of unexpected and jump all the way to Animal Kingdom, but we'll do the other ones later. But before we do that, I want to ask you guys about some of the stuff that happened this weekend. Maybe not ask you, but at least bring it up. What happened this weekend at Disneyland? We've been talking about it for a long time, but it finally happened, and that is several things started closing over there. That the Rivers of America, namely, which means the two ships, Mark Twain and Columbia, have closed for the time being. Fantasmic, of course, is closed down because it happens there. Tom Sawyer Island is closed down because it's right in the middle of the Rivers of America. And then over at Disney California Adventure, so they can start making way for the Frozen show, the Aladdin show has come to an end forever. It's been there since January 2003, 13 years, and it gave its final performance this weekend. So, on Twitter, of course, people were losing their minds. It was like Walt Disney had died all over again. Some of the reactions I was seeing. Did you see anything like that?
Yeah, it was. You would have thought somebody like peed on Walt's grave. Like that's how insulting they thought it was.
Seriously, and I understand that the Rivers of America are not going to be exactly like they were, but they are going to reopen. Like I saw so many tweets about, oh, my last ride on the Mark Twain. It's like, no, it is coming back. Like it was closed the first time Jeremy, you and I went. It was closed for refurbishment. Like they just do this from time to time.
Yeah. Did you see the concept art, though, for the new opening?
Yeah, I think it looks awesome.
I think it looks really awesome. I love how the train kind of goes. Is it over the water or just like
it's
right
over the water? Yeah, so like the railroad used to go, it was always on land. And even back there when you're on the other side of the rivers of America, I think there were actually fences to where you could kind of see the water through the fence, but not really. But now since they have to move the track in a little bit to make room for Star Wars land, they're going to build like a tall bridge type railroad, and you'll looking out the, well, there aren't even windows, looking out from the train, you'll just be over the water.
Then
you'll
go
through a new mountain that they're building as part of Star Wars land. I think it's going to be a really big improvement as far as like the aesthetics of it.
Yeah, well, they're going to do something special. If they're taking away, well, I knew they'd probably be throwing them I say us as fan people, but you know, I don't get out to Disneyland that much, but you know, they would throw everyone a few bones for making such monumental changes to something.
Yeah. I love that they posted the concept art on that day. It was basically like, calm down. Like,
yeah,
here's
look
what
how
we
pretty.
Have planned. Everything's coming back. Y'all need to calm.
If they make some really elaborate Star Wars diorama scene in that mountain, that would be really cool.
That'd be interesting. And now we take you to a galaxy far, far away.
On a railroad.
Yeah. But one thing I thought was actually kind of cool was not only did they post that concept art to reassure people, but they also have opened up a few things, a limited time experiences at the parks, and you can actually board the Columbia and like touch all the parts of the ship and get information from the quote unquote captain. You can one of the train engines is parked on Main Street and you can get up close and personal with it. And again, the conductor will give you some fun facts up close and personal.
Hey.
And he'll give you some fun facts. And then like Jungle Cruise is closed right now just for a normal refurbishment. And outside, the Jungle Cruise skippers are like telling funny stories about their adventures, you know, which obviously they have not really gone on. But there's like audience participation and stuff like that. So at least they're doing something, because you know you're disappointed if you go and the railroad, the two boats, and the Jungle Cruises are all closed. The Jungle Cruise.
And let's not forget about the fun hopscotch and beanbag toss that's happening.
So far, none of that.
Who needs Fantasmic when you have Cornhole? That's what I say.
It's a good question. Yeah.
Matt's eyes got really big when I said that.
Well. I was tossing around Cornhole in my head. I was like, does that fly anywhere else except in the South? Cornhole.
So if any of our listeners happen to be going to Disneyland, yes, those attractions will be closed, but it looks like there are some fun experiences for you to do.
Time for another Mad Chatter game! And now, here's your Mad Chatter host, Mad Chatter Jerry!
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. It's good to be back with another Mad Chatter game right here on the Mad Chatter podcast. Let's not waste any time.
Yes, that's the name of our show. Good job.
I was expecting some feedback there, but there was nothing. Let's get started with today's game, In a World. We all love Disney and Disney films, and we associate Disney and Disney films with happy and joy. But what if there was another way to look at Disney movies? What if Disney movies were actually horror films? So in today's game, I'm going to read you the plot of a Disney film as if it were from the perspective of a horror film.
What's horror?
Horror.
A horror film.
That's Missouri for horror.
Oh.
No, a horror is someone who prostitutes themselves.
Horror. Horror.
A scary film. A scary film, okay?
Yep, that's good.
All right. I'm going to read you the plot of a Disney film from the perspective of a scary movie. And you have to tell me what movie it is. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In a world where a crazed mother attacks taunting boys, she's locked up for protecting her son, who has bad hallucinations.
This is a Disney film, yeah?
Correct.
Animated or any?
They are all animated.
Okay. Okay. I will guess Brave?
Incorrect. Matthew, for the steal.
Can you say it again?
In a world where a crazed mother attacks taunting boys, she's locked up for protecting her son, who has mad hallucinations.
Mother attacks taunting boys. Taunting boys.
We're going to be really good at this game, I have a feeling.
Clearly.
I'm going to need an answer.
Oh, this isn't like, okay, is Dumbo.
Dumbo is correct.
Oh,
okay, I see. I was thinking that just that one thing was a part of the storyline, but that's like the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Dumbo, all right. We got it now.
All right, Matthew.
I understood. I just didn't know the answer for the record.
I didn't understand. I was thinking, what movie does that happen in?
All right, Matt, your turn. Ready?
Okay.
In a world where a woodland gang worships a corpse, they kill the queen and hide in the forest.
Oh, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Snow White is correct. Another point for Matt.
It's good.
All right. Derek, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
In a world where ferocious felines seek aid from a poisoned mouse and a drunk gander, they'll trap a man and ship him off to certain death.
The Aristocats.
The Aristocats is correct.
Yay.
Truck and gander.
All right,
Matt.
That's
so frightening.
Here comes yours.
Okay.
In a world where a crazed girl beats a man with a frying pan, she'll become the Horse Whisperer.
Tangled.
Tangled is correct. Very good.
A Horse Whisperer.
Matt likes this game.
All right, Derek, here you go. Ready? In a world where a wild boy is raised by wolves, he'll go on a rampage, burning animals with fire.
But I don't know how to make fire. The Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book is correct.
That's dark.
Mm. All right. Matthew. In a world where an agent of hell seduces strong man, luring him to his death in the underworld.
Oh, Hercules.
Hercules is correct. Another point for Matt.
Strong man.
I wish our listeners could see how big Jeremy's eyes get and how intense his face gets when he says these.
Well, one day when we have our own television show, they'll get that joy. But tonight, only you two. All right, Derek, ready? Enlivened by mystic forces and marred by a fib-inducing facial deformity, a boy is enslaved and then transformed by the occult into animal form.
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio is correct.
A fib-inducing facial deformity. That's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't write these. I totally stole this.
Oh,
just so you know.
Wow.
Oh,
I really was impressed with some of these.
Points.
Sorry. I mean, I'm still impressed, just not with you anymore.
Mm-mm. Okay.
You're like, that hurt, but we're going to move forward.
In a world where a boy kidnaps children, he'll feed his worst enemy to a crocodile.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan is correct. Point for Matthew. These are not as quite as hard as I thought they would be, but that's all right.
Well, I mean, crocodile alone.
That first one was pretty good.
We're having fun, nonetheless. Mm-hmm. In a world where one cross-dressing girl summons an ancient guard, she'll slaughter hundreds in a massive avalanche.
That would be Mulan.
Mulan is correct. Twisted by the death of his mother, our hero goes on a murderous rampage, killing deer and dogs alike.
Bambi?
Bambi is correct. Very good, Matt.
Did he kill a dog?
Apparently so.
I don't know.
In a world where an evil prince enslaves a girl, orders servant to starve her to death, but then fights her rescuer till he falls to his death.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast is correct. Another point for Derek. Hmm. And last one, Matt. In a world where magic summons a flood, partygoers are attacked by lightning and evil spirits as they rise from the grave.
What?
In a world where magic summons a flood, partygoers are attacked by lightning and evil spirits as they rise from the grave.
Partygoers? I'm going to give an answer I think is right, and if it's not right, I'm going to challenge you, and that is Fantasia.
Fantasia is correct!
Wow. Way all to right. go.
My voice hurts, but now, Steve, take us out.
Congratulations, Matthew! You have won another Match Hitter game! Join us next time, same Match. Cheddar Podcast, same bad Cheddar Fun!
On this edition of Mad Chatter Top 10, we're going to be counting down the top 10 signs you are at Disney's Hollywood Studios in 2016. Number 10. Every single picture from your day has a Pardon Our Pixie Dust sign in the background.
Number 9. Due to the limited number of options, your third Fast Pass for the day is a reserved spot near the stage during the dance party on Hollywood Boulevard.
Number 8. During the months of November and December, the streets of America are just filled with crying guests mourning the passing of some guy named Osborne.
Number 7. You line up for Fantasmic 5 hours early because you physically cannot ride Rock and Roller Coaster or Tower of Terror anymore.
Number 6. The only meet and greet experience you have all day is with the cast member in charge of the cornhole activity near the back of the park.
That sounds like something I want no part of.
Number 5. A cast member informs you guests can no longer admire Bill Cosby's bust because, ironically, he was admiring a few busts himself.
I'm so glad I did not have to say that one. Clearly a lot of love for this park on this podcast.
When you break for lunch, your son tells you his favorite attraction so far has been looking through the cracks in the construction walls at the progress being made on Star Wars Land. Hey, the construction walls are attractions in themselves.
Well, they're going to have to be because there's not much else. Number 3, the streets of America are more authentic than ever now that the sidewalks are flooded with cast members formerly of the Magic of Disney Animation, Pizza Planet, Mulch, Sweat, and Shears, the Backlot Tour, and more, hungry and looking for work.
Number 2, you spend half the day asking, now what used to be here?
It's big, it was big, whatever it was.
Do y'all remember that? That was fun.
Was it Soarin'?
Spider-Man?
Bingo.
Actually, no, bingo will be the highlight attraction by the end of this year.
Oh, yeah. The bingo hall. Number one. By the end of the day, your kids are begging you to, quote, take them back to Disney World.
Aw.
So sad.
That happens all the time anyway.
We heart you, Hollywood Studios. Come back to us soon, please.
Yeah.
On today's show, we're going to continue our series called Do This, Not That. And just to recap, if you didn't listen last time, this is where we just take you through a park. And let's say you're going to this park soon, you don't have a lot of time, and you want to know what are the absolute musts and what are things that if you run out of time, and really only if you run out of time, because I'm of the opinion that you should at least try everything. But if you are running out of time, these are the things that we personally think you can skip. Others might disagree, but you're not listening to their podcast, you're listening to ours. So without further ado, let's dive right into Disney's Animal Kingdom. And the first place you will come to, well, the second place you will come to after the entrance and Oasis is Discovery Island. So Jeremy, what is something you think people in Discovery Island should do?
One of the things that I have discovered about Animal Kingdom that a lot of people have discovered is you have to take a little time to just enjoy all the good views around you. So one thing that you need to do is when you walk towards the Tree of Life and turn left and go towards Africa, there's going to be a little part that you can jet into, little trail there. And it's beyond the little step down area with the fish tank or whatever that's down there. But it takes you all the way up almost to the trunk of the Tree of Life. Great little spot to just look at the tree. Get some really good pictures up close. You see the animal carvings. It's really kind of quiet because it just dead ends. And so your average everyday guest is going to walk back there and go, oh, it doesn't go anywhere, and turn around and walk out. But you're smart enough and intelligent enough to know that this is a great place to just enjoy a little bit of Disney magic, the aesthetics of the Disney magic. So,
And there are kangaroos there.
That's what I was going to say. They? Yeah, on that trail.
Or wallabies.
No, kangaroos, yeah.
True story, never seen the kangaroos back there, but I have seen the tree.
To be honest, I haven't seen the kangaroos either. In fact, last time we went, I specifically went on that trail to see the kangaroos, didn't see them, but I still see online that that's where the kangaroos are.
I've seen them.
Okay, good. But yeah, just last year, in 2015, they added a bunch of carvings, just kind of surprise everybody by making the carvings extend even farther. And those carvings are definitely worth taking the time to look at.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Matt?
My do this was what Jeremy had just said, the Discovery Island trails, but I will pick another that is equally doable, and that is It's Tough to Be a Bug, which is the 4D attraction inside the Tree of Life. Which you wouldn't know that, but you enter from when you turn right, when you come to Discovery Island, going right around the Tree of Life. As if you're going to Dino Land, you'll see the entrance to It's Tough to Be a Bug. And this just features Flick and all of the lovable characters from Pixar's Good Grief, A Bug's Life. I always get the movie and the attraction mixed up, the names. But it's good. It is intense. Which we have remarked about before. It is intense for younger viewers, which you wouldn't think it would be, but there's, you know, maybe 5 minutes of some really intense, dark, lots of fog. I'm not going to spoil too much for you, but, you know, just be warned that there might be a time you need to shelter your little one. But for the majority of the show, it's just a good, fun show. And hint, hint, you need to just stay seated at the end of the show. They do a good job of keeping people seated with the announcement, but every once in a while somebody tries to jet out, but remain seated until the very, very last possible second. And you might regret that you did, but
I think that's the perfect place to just move on to the next
place. It's just a little surprise in the end, literally.
Yeah, that's a good one. Definitely worth seeing. if I had to pick something besides those two that I think you should do, I recommend, of all the quick service restaurants in Animal Kingdom, my personal favorite is Flame Tree Barbecue, which you will find on Discovery Island. Barbecue is not exactly... I mean, they just redid one of the menus in Magic Kingdom that now has barbecue. But other than that, it's not something you find a lot on Walt Disney World property. And I think the barbecue at Flame Tree Barbecue is especially delicious. So I think if you're going to take time to do a quick service meal, I would recommend Flame Tree Barbecue. Some great outdoor seating.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Don't settle for the seating that is visible from the front. Mm-hmm. If you kind of take the effort to go... You could just follow the trails behind the restaurant itself, the little kiosk or whatever, the booth. It's not like a huge place, but if you just follow the trails behind it, there's some wonderful waterside seating behind it and a lovely big fountain and all kinds of pretty stuff. So explore and find a nice place to sit.
Okay, so now if we're telling people what they can skip, Jeremy, what would you say?
You can skip the Wilderness Explorers activity, whatever that thing is. This is like the Epcot thing where you, Harry's personal world travels, whatever, what is that thing called?
Agent P's World Showcase Challenge.
I was close.
Harry's personal world travel.
I knew there were some P's in there somewhere, but no, this is like something, they give you a little booklet, it's based off of Up with Russell and Carl and Doug, and you go all over Animal Kingdom and you find little things and you get little symbolic badges or whatever. And when you complete the book, do you get anything other than just like a you're a winner kind of a thing? Or
I think it's just the book. You get little like stamps that go, not stamps, but like stickers. Like badges. Okay. They're fake badges, but they're stickers.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you have children, this might be a nice thing. But I think it would be more annoying because most children either will not care about this at all, like you'll do one or two and then they kind of lose interest, or you're going to have the child who probably grew up like Derek who then has to get them all, period, you know, like, and they will be upset.
Oh, you know me so well.
So that can be, both are annoying in a sense of it's like, here's your book, I don't care about that anymore, or Derek, there's other things to see besides the book, you know, kind of thing. But you can just skip it. It's not necessary.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you to skip it because it is not a hassle, but it is something you have to pay attention to. But if you like this kind of thing, they did a great job with it. What it does is it takes you to attractions you were already going to go on. So like if you're on Expedition Everest, it'll be like, hey, in the queue, look out for this, and then write down what you learn. And like cast members, before they give you a sticker, actually ask you questions to make sure you learn something, which I guess that could also be considered annoying. But if you really want to learn something, they really do a good job with this, which is why I would not even compare it to Agent P's World Showcase Challenge, which I did not enjoy at all. But I think the few things we did for Wilderness Explorers, I enjoyed. It's just, like you said, after a while, I was like, okay, we're done with this.
Yeah, if you have really dumb children, you might be able to convince them that that was a souvenir you bought them, you know, kind of a thing. So then you could save some money because it's free.
Yeah. So I'm okay with skipping it, but I would say they did it to the absolute best of their ability. They gave it all they got.
Yay. That's all we can ask.
That's right.
Don't do this. Do not eat at Pete's Safari. Mm. I think they've made some menu changes or something recently, expanded seating. I don't know. It's not. I mean, yeah, we already talked about the place to eat if you're going to eat quick service and Discovery Island. Pete Safari is to be likened to the pizza at Pizza Planet, which is now down for refurbishment. It's just, you know, average run-of-the-mill kind of pizza, but the whole place lacks character, any kind of, I don't know, it's just a boring restaurant. It's kind of like something you settle for.
I don't even think you can say it's average pizza, you know, like, because average pizza is still pretty decent, you know.
Yeah,
I don't
you're
think
right.
This pizza is decent at all. This reminds me of like the frozen pizzas that you would buy and then you put them in the microwave, like the smaller personal ones.
Even though you're not supposed to.
Even though you're not supposed to, but they come out kind of rubbery, you know, and kind of like, ugh. Yeah, I agree with this. I second this. Don't eat there.
Especially since Animal Kingdom is known for such eclectic foods that, you know, highlight parts of Africa and Asia. If you're going to settle for pizza, do it at another park, not Animal Kingdom.
It's so American. It's like, ooh, I don't want to try that.
Well, sometimes you travel with picky people, and they're not going to go eat at the Harambe marketplace and things. And so,
don't hang out with picky people. You don't need that kind of negativity in your life. Just get rid of all picky people in your life.
If your children are picky, give them the boot. We don't need that.
Put them up for adoption.
Are they picky about their friends? Because if I'm friends with someone who's not picky about their friends, it kind of makes me feel like I'm not that special.
Well, that's different.
This got deep.
We're talking about food.
Well, you guys kind of took the Animal Kingdom is a very different animal than,
he's funny.
I did not mean that. Anyway, it's very different from Magic Kingdom in the sense that it was kind of hard to narrow down that list for me, but I have a feeling we'll highlight most things at Animal Kingdom on this show, which is not a bad thing. But I'm going to say on Discovery Island, if there's something you can skip, I guess it would be It's Tough to Be a Bug Fast Passes. It's super specific. Yes. But don't sign up for a Fast Pass for Bug's Life. You're going to get in the theater just fine. Don't worry about it. You'll be good to go. So moving on to Africa. Matt, I want you to go first. We can switch it up a little bit.
Okay, I'm so glad to go first because I'm going to say the most obvious thing. Actually, with you two here, that's probably not the most obvious thing because you'll point with something else. I'm going to say do Kilimanjaro Safaris. There's one attraction that's just quintessentially Animal Kingdom. It is the Kilimanjaro Safaris. I've been going to Animal Kingdom since it opened, you know, at least yearly, and riding Kilimanjaro Safaris at least once every trip. And I've only had one trip I can remember that was just completely uneventful. Like, every single animal was not visible, which can happen because these are live animals and they try to do things to keep them out in the open. But when you're riding in the hot of the day, midday in Florida, a lot of animals are going to be sleeping or trying to be in the shade or in the dirt or whatever they're doing. In the dirt, in the mud, you know, hiding, getting out of the heat. But other than that, I've always seen lots and lots and lots of animals. And if you have a good tour guide, they're going to make you feel like some of the animals you see are very rare to see. And I've learned that that's probably not true because it happens every time. But you won't always see the lions. You won't always see the cheetahs. But when it happens, and you'll always see a rhinoceros probably either pooping or peeing or copulating. I'm not sure which one interests you most, but
sometimes
you'll see
all
some
at
of that.
The same time.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a good day when that happens.
This is, if you look up Animal Kingdom, you're going to see this attraction with the open air vehicles, and it's like a big, almost, I don't know, flatbed truck that they put benches in. I don't know how to describe it.
Wow, we are really selling this attraction.
But it's great. It's great. And do it, having done the little train at Busch Gardens, which is supposed to go through like a Serengeti type, you know, African grassland place. When you can just tell the difference on their little train at Busch Gardens, Tampa Bay. When you go through that Serengeti, whatever it is, you can very clearly just tell that it looks still like Florida landscape. What they've done with that savanna grassland there on the safaris, which is massive, is something else because it really does transport you to Africa. Just listen to the point where the tour guide says, "This is my favorite view," and that's where we're talking about.
Yeah, and everybody says
Kilimanjaro Safari.
I 100% agree. Excellent attraction, a must do in all of Walt Disney World. Even if you just pay a one day ticket to go ride this, it's well, maybe not worth it, but it is wonderful. And they're adding animals all the time. Like, I feel like every couple months, Disney Parks blog will post, "We just added spotted dogs," I think was the last
painted
one.
Painted dogs.
We added Dalmatians. They got eaten by the rhinos the next day. But anyway, they're always adding animals. Later this year, they're going to do the sunset safari. So they're always plussing it, and it's great. I love when you go into the big open savanna area and the giraffes are just right beside you. Mm-hmm. Really cool.
Did I ever tell you all about the time we almost hit a giraffe when I was in a safari vehicle?
I don't think so.
Okay, so you know how, like, right after that beautiful view, or every driver's favorite view, like, you kind of drive down, and then it, like, circles completely around this little, it's not really an island, but it, you almost do like a 360 around it, but yeah. It's just a big turn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a 340, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And in the center of that were two baby giraffes. So everybody's looking to their right the whole time that we're circling around the driver, everything going very slow. And so as we get past that, everybody's still looking to the right. And now you're kind of looking over your shoulder because they're, you know, behind us in a sense. And the driver's like, all right, let's go. And he guns it. Well, because everybody was looking over their shoulder to the right, including the driver, he did not see the adult giraffe that was coming from the left and crossing the pathway. So he guns it. And as soon as he did, then, like, he saw this giraffe was in the – so it was like, slam on the brakes. And he was like, whoa, where'd he come from kind of a thing.
Oh, no.
And I was like, could you imagine can you be – we killed a giraffe. Like, we ran over a giraffe. Could you imagine telling that vacation story? But the giraffe was not injured, nor were any passengers. But it was definitely one of those moments that I was like.
But the driver was fired.
Yeah. It was a good day.
Oh, no. Giraffes are my favorite. Don't hurt those things. They're beautiful. Mm. If I say you're going to have to do something, Matt's going to poo-poo all over this answer. But I think Festival of the Lion King is something you need to do. And it's something that I liked the first time, but it has definitely grown on me. Over time, it's in a new theater, which, I mean, I don't think it's all that different from the old theater, but and it has a few cheesy audience participation moments, but once you get past that, like, the tumbling monkeys are wonderful, the singers are great, you can sing along with these songs, you know, it just gets you in that, like, African feel. I don't know, I guess I don't really walk out of it saying, I just got an African feel. It just gets the audience pumped up. I remember seeing it with my nephews and they were just enthralled the whole time and they clapped to several songs. It's just a fun, upbeat show and I think it's worth seeing.
Absolutely. I don't know why Matt poo-poos all over this thing, but it's one of the best shows on property.
I didn't hate it last time.
Did you take Anna?
Yeah, we did.
See, that's why. Kids change everything.
And the Grinch's heart grew. Three times.
Yeah, like I said, I liked it the first time, but I've come to really, really like it.
My must-do in Africa at Animal Kingdom is the Harambe Market. I recently raved about this area on the podcast, so you can go back a couple episodes and listen to that. But I think it's just such a beautifully themed, beautifully aesthetic area of the park. It's really just kind of cozy, lots of fun things to read and to observe on the walls and things, and it's a great place to have lunch. Get the vegetable stack, get the milk tart, get some water, you know, it's hot, and just enjoy the midday.
It's amazing how I've only seen it through pictures, but it's amazing how it really completely changed Africa in Animal Kingdom. I feel like maybe I haven't been there, so I can't say for sure, but
no, it really did. It just makes it feel like that land now is more than just one-dimensional. Like, before, you used to walk into Africa, and there was Tusker House, there was the safaris, and that was it, kind of mm-hmm. a thing. Now, you kind of can walk back by the safaris, and it circles around there to the Harambe Market. So
yeah, it was a dead end before. Like, you go in, you turn around, come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So now it feels more, you know, like I said, more expansive, more...
Just opened it up.
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, my don't do this. Now, bear in mind, this is if a person was making a decision and pressed for time or what have you, and things they could skip and not miss much. I would heartily say don't do Festival of the Lion King. Like I said, the last time I did it, it was not, I didn't hate it as I did the first time I did it. I've only done it twice. But it's, I guess I say this just because it gets so much hype. It is just so very popular with people. And I just don't find it to be a must-do, don't-miss kind of thing. Read our profiles on the madchatters.net, Derek and Jeremy and myself, and just see who you more closely align with, and then you'll know whether... this is a skip or not.
That's good advice. I'm going to say, okay, so you've ridden Kilimanjaro Safaris. You go down a little bit farther, and oh, look, there's this train, and it's called the Wildlife Express train. Mm-mm. I have to ride this. It looks like it's going to be cool. It's not. No. I'm just going to say, just don't wait in line for the train to come back and then pick you up. And I know it's going to take you to Rafiki's Planet Watch, which has several things to offer there. Don't do it. I don't know. I may get some hate for that, but I don't think I've ever ridden that and been like, I am so glad I did that. What an experience.
The train
that was.
And Rafiki's Planet Watch, like, is that as a whole attraction or just the train?
I mean, you can't not do the train but do Rafiki's Planet Watch, so I guess I'm saying the whole thing.
Okay. Oh.
That's kind of harsh, I guess. I don't think you'll regret it. I don't think anyone who rides it and gets out there is like, well, that was a waste of time. Maybe they do. I don't know. But I don't know.
It's like the train to your neighborhood zoo.
Yeah, kind of.
Rafiki's Planet Watch is just kind of like a petting zoo and like the reptile house at the local zoo and wherever you live.
Yeah. And to be fair, I mean, you are going to Animal Kingdom, so maybe kids are expecting a petting zoo. But, like, you have to wait for the train to get there, and then when you ride it, there's really nothing to see. And then when you come back, you have to wait for the train to get there. I don't know. I'm just being honest.
Well, I'm going to confess my sins and say that I don't have a don't do in Africa. Because everything I thought about, I was like, no, that's worth doing. Like, Africa's probably the best area in Animal Kingdom as a whole. Closely followed by Asia, but you can't go wrong with anything in Africa, in my opinion.
I mean, I can't disagree with that. That's a good answer. I feel like I had to say something, but now that's good.
See, if the animal poop brownies were still there, I would put that out there. But even, like, I thought about the bands, like the African band that plays out there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's even worth stopping and enjoying for a few minutes, you know? And there's really no bad food. Africa is just a wonderful place. There's nothing worth skipping in Africa. You cannot go wrong in Africa.
At Animal Kingdom.
Right. I have a feeling if we were talking about the real Africa, our opinion would be very different.
Yes.
Depending on what part we went to.
Yeah.
Okay, I will kick off the next section. We're going to head over to Asia. And I'm, like Matt did with Africa, I think, I'm going to pick the obvious one that we all enjoy. And that is the Expedition Everest. It is impossible to miss, whether you're driving out on the roads on other parts of the property or you're actually in the park, because it's the towering Everest-like mountain in the park. Really great attraction. It's still fairly new. What, 2006, I want to say? 2005? Mm-hmm. So not old at all. It has it does have an animatronic inside. It's not quite what it used to be, but it is there. But even the ride itself, there are several surprises along the way. It's a very smooth roller coaster-like attraction, as I'm sure the sign says out front. Even the queue has lots of great stuff to take in as you walk through it. Makes for good pictures with all the flags hanging out front like they do on real Mount Everest. Don't skip Expedition Everest if you are at Animal Kingdom.
My don't skip is the trails, and I can never say the name right. The Maharaja.
Or as you said last time, Maharaja.
Maharaja trails.
The jungle trek.
Yeah, jungle trek. I really like those treks and trails because I feel like they do such a great job. Like, you get back there and you can almost fool yourself enough to think that you're walking through some old abandoned Indian, you know, temple, especially by the tigers. Like, I was back there one time and there was nobody. I was all alone. And I just got that really, like, creepy feel. Like, ooh, you know, for just a, like, it was a very surreal moment. And you kind of expect a tiger just to pop out at any moment. But, whoa. So they're really fun. There is a part that you can skip in that, and that is the birdhouse. But I never enjoy the birdhouse. And so, but the rest of it, the tigers are nice. And
are you talking about the bats?
No. There's a whole nother birdhouse. Oh. The bats are kind of fun because they're very – Well, they're very something. But there's actually like a birdhouse that you walk through.
Okay. That's also where the Komodo dragons are, right? I think that's the same one. I think we're thinking about the same one.
Oh, maybe.
That's my favorite trail of all of them. Because like you said, like the old temple ruins and stuff, there really don't even need to be animals there for you to be like, this is cool.
Yeah.
But there are animals, so it's even cooler.
It's even better.
Do you remember
temple ruins and animals?
Slight Star Wars spoiler if you haven't seen it yet, but in the new Star Wars film, when they're going to the new cantina to meet the alien that kind of looks like Sophia from Golden Girls, and they walk in and there's like the prayer flags hanging over, and somebody said that looks like Star Wars Animal Kingdom.
It totally like, does.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Maybe there'll be a nice tie-in. No, that would not work.
No, but it did remind me, as they walked in that courtyard, it did remind me of the flags by Expedition Everest. Yeah.
My do this is Cali River Rapids, and Cali River Rapids gets some flack, I think, and then some people just don't like water rides, and you, let's say this, you about have a 90% chance of getting really, really, really wet, if not soaked, on Cali River Rapids. I think the queue for Cali River Rapids, it rivals Expedition Everest's for that authentic Asian feel. I mean, it's mostly outside. When it first opened, I didn't care for the lighting, if that makes any sense, in the queue, in some of the buildings, because it would be just like a random light bulb or like a fluorescent light with no cover on it, and I thought that just looked cheap. But it's pretty authentic, come to think of it, just kind of exposed lighting and what cheap looking, you know.
That was a Joe Rohde call.
Yeah, but the giant lion statues and the Buddha statues and things, the queue itself is wonderful, just like we talked about with the trek. But then the ride is fun too. It's short, you know, for what I would consider a typical rapids ride. But it features a drop, which is kind of surprising to people who are used to the average rapids ride. There's an actual climb, and there's nice mist and fog, and there's this burning forest, and there's actually a drop. Now, it's not like a huge flume, but it is pretty surprising that it happens.
Well, it was going to be surprising until we just spoiled it for everybody.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Okay. That's not how that works.
Cali River Rapids. Yeah. Don't miss that. If you enjoy water rides, I do.
Yeah. But here's something you can miss. And full disclosure, I'm saying this without actually having done it ever. But that is Flights of Wonder. And it is a bird attraction. First of all, not a huge fan of birds, to say the least. Do not enjoy being near them, watching them, looking at them, hearing them, whatever. Actually, I can look at them from a distance, but that's about it. But this show, there is a host, and I guess he does a few tricks with the birds and points out some fun facts. Something I've actually heard from people who have seen it is that it's becoming outdated. Like, apparently there's a Fraser crane, quote-unquote, joke. And how long has that show been off the air?
Fraser's never out of date.
Oh, I should have known my audience before
Let's
I said
not
that.
Go there.
Yeah. Anyway, I've never done it, and I still love Animal Kingdom very much. So I would say if you don't have a lot of time on your hands, you can probably skip the Flights of Wonder attraction and be okay.
As Matthew mentioned earlier, you need to go to our website, look at our profiles, see who you match up with, who you align with, who you're willing to take advice from, because my skip is Cali River Rapids. I have only ridden it once. I did not enjoy it. I didn't enjoy getting wet. I found it to be kind of... I just didn't enjoy it. So if you're more of a Festival of the Lion King kind of a person, then listen to me.
Yeah, but you just don't really like getting wet on attractions.
I don't. I just don't.
You don't like water splashing in his face.
I don't. And I don't like how you feel like damp afterwards. I don't like that it messes up your hair. I just don't like that.
I will say I prefer the attractions like that where you don't know who's going to get wet. But I feel like on that one, everyone is going to get wet, period. You know, it's like I might as well just jump in the river.
Yeah, if you like to feel crusty for the rest of the day, then go ahead and ride it. But if you don't,
I love feeling crusty.
You know, like when you get that, like when you get wet and then you're like, oh, I'll dry out in the sun. But then your clothes like get that stiff feeling and it kind of rubs your skin funny. No, I don't enjoy that.
Just remember Matt's tips with Desitin and Gold Bond. If you have Desitin and Gold Bond, you're okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. But you can skip it. Go see Enjoy Festival the Lion King instead.
Enjoy the adventure.
Enjoy it.
My don't do this for Asia is the Yak and Yeti restaurant. And I have I ate there once with you guys. I think it was our first trip, wasn't it? And I kind of, maybe it was where we were seated. I kind of just felt like we were there, like beside the front and kind of a, I don't know. The theming didn't feel like it was very
themed.
Themed, yes. It didn't seem well thought through. I felt like I was literally, I think this is one of those times where the authenticity maybe doesn't do us a favor, because it just kind of felt like I was in some kind of like open air. We just got air conditioning, nice, quote unquote, Asian upscale place in the middle of Taiwan somewhere. And just didn't enjoy it. The food was okay, as I remember. I had like short ribs or something that first time, but nothing great. I ate there a second time just this past year in January, and I got seated on the second floor, and it was just okay. The theming was, you know, it felt like I was just in another regular old restaurant, like in a little hall. The food wasn't great again. I think this time I just went with like a standard like orange chicken or General Tso's chicken or something, and it came with like jasmine rice and something else. The portions, this is, you know, this me complaining. Some people enjoy small portions, but the portions were just very small for it being probably around $21, $22 for this entree. Just a very, like a little scoop of the chicken, a little scoop of the rice, and then like some just regular run-of-the-mill, like steamed vegetables from Outback or something on the side. And so that was like $21. And then I think I got an appetizer that night of some dumplings or something. And those were pretty good, but there were only three of them, and I think it was probably $8 or $9. And that was my fault. I was just trying some different things out to see if I liked something. And I don't know what the reviews are for Yak and Yeti, if people generally like it, but I don't. So don't waste your table service credits or whatever there. Go somewhere else.
I enjoyed it when we went, but I think you're right. I think it was our first trip, and I was still in the mode of, this is a theme park and they have sit-down restaurants that taste this good. My eyes had not quite been opened yet to the wonderful Disney restaurants as opposed to the okay Disney restaurants.
Yeah, and this one is a weird one in that it is owned by Landry's. Is that correct?
I think you're right, yeah.
Landry's. And I wouldn't care so much, except that they advertise that very much in the restaurant. Like on the table, there's a little brochure. And they don't really pressure you, but they do make a few comments about joining the Landry's whatever restaurant club where you get points and all that kind of stuff. Landry's, I think they're the folks behind, you know, Rainforest and maybe even Fulton's Crab House and T-Rex and Bubba Gump Shrimp and kind of that chain of themed restaurants. So it just feels weird to have that in the middle of a Disney theme park.
That's authentic to Africa.
Yeah.
All the restaurants in Africa, they always come up to you and trying to get you to sign up for some credit card or something.
You mean Asia?
Yeah, you're in the wrong part of the world.
Africa.
Dang it.
You know, whatever.
Moving on now to Dinoland USA. My must-do. It's probably going to be poo-pooed by the other chatters, but I don't care. You have to do Finding Nemo the musical. Just a wonderful show, very well done. Even though it's 30 minutes long, you get you out of the heat.
Child, that thing is almost 50 minutes long.
Okay, even though it's 45 minutes long, you get you out of the heat. It's got really good music in it with fun lyrics that'll get stuck in your head for the rest of the day. The puppets are fun. You know, the crush scene is always enjoyable. I can see how people would get tired of it after you see it once, But then there's people like me who feel like you need to see it every time. So it's a fun show.
Yeah, it's impressive for sure.
In the big blue world.
I used to not be the biggest fan of this, and I'm still not the biggest fan of it, but I enjoy it. It is fun, and it is long. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, on your schedule, I don't know. So that might be a reason to skip it. But the music is great. And the little puppetry that you think is going to be a distraction at first ends up just being very seamless. And you know what I mean when you see it.
As mentioned before, I think, on the show, music written by the same people who wrote Book of Mormon, Frozen, and Avenue Q.
That's true. The Lopez's. Or at least just the guy, right? I don't think she had a part in this, but anyway, yeah, I think it's a good show. I think I'm one of the people you were talking about who has gotten a little tired of it, but I can't deny that it's very well produced.
Let's just be thankful it hasn't been replaced by a Frozen show. Okay.
That's true. That's true.
I would love it if the caliber of the songs was the same as like the Book of Mormon, like the actual material for adults only. My do this in Dinoland USA is Dinosaur. And Dinosaur is an unsung hero among the rides at Walt Disney World, I think. And maybe it's because of its location tucked away in the back. It's, very, very, very unassuming edifice outside that you don't know what it is. And it just looks like this laboratory museum building. You don't know what kind of ride it's going to be. And it's just a really fun indoor, thrilling dark ride type attraction with really good dinosaur animatronics. Very loud. It is quite frightening, I think, for children. But it's a good ride. And people tend to say, well, we'll just skip that. In fact, I remember like one of the first times we were going on it way back late 90s or whatever. And this dude I love it when people that don't know what they're talking about are trying to tell you about something. And it's like he clearly never ridden it before. He was trying to tell us that it was a simulator. And I was like, dude, I seriously, I know. And, you know, you're trying to be nice. Like, oh, really? It's just a simulator? Like, yeah, you don't really move at all. It's just a simulator. Everything's on a screen. Uh-huh. I knew this wasn't true. But, you know, in the moment, you don't want to be like, you're an idiot. Shut up. But, yeah, Dinosaur. Go ride Dinosaur in Dinoland USA. Try to find it. It's kind of hard to find.
Yeah, it is.
Look at your map. Just keep going right until you can't go anymore.
I love that attraction still.
Yep.
One of my top, maybe 10, I don't know.
For instance, on the unassuming, unexpected aspect of it, when we went for our first time, I'm pretty sure you guys had that same kind of feeling about it. Like, this isn't, you know, what is this? Not expecting what it was going to be, because I remember there was lots of screaming. And
it is more hiding. Terrifying than you'd expect the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. Well, you guys took the good ones. So I'm going to say, okay, listen, I cannot say that Chester and Hester's Dinorama is a must-do. In good conscience, I cannot say that. I enjoy it. I really do. More than these other two guys, I bet. But I can't say it's a must-do. But if you're going to walk through the area, I have seen them do some like Streetmosphere before, some live entertainers out there. Like, I saw some guys that looked like they were in white painting coveralls, you know, and I think they were on stilts and they were juggling. I think I can't remember, but I remember staying there for a little bit, not too long because it was blazing hot that day, but we just kind of watched them and they were having a lot of fun with the guests. And I think it's that area just lends itself to that kind of stuff. Just high energy, lots of fun, crazy, colorful costumes with the cast members. So even if you don't ride anything, at least stroll through there and maybe see if anything is happening on the streets.
This is shocking, Derek, because I thought for sure you were going to say Primeval World.
I love Primeval World, but I can ride it. I think I said this before. I literally can ride it every year at my county fair, so I can't say it's a must-do, but do it, because it's really fun.
Okay.
You like it too, don't you?
No, I do. I just, I just thought for sure you were going to say that, so
sorry.
I'm surprised. Surprised. Over, you picked Streetmosphere.
Oh, here it is. I found the picture. Yeah, it's one guy on a ladder, and then another guy standing on his shoulders, and they were juggling. It was just a lot of fun to watch. So maybe see if they're doing that.
I don't like watching that kind of entertainment because I'm going to be the one to be watching it when, like, they fall and somebody, like, bashes their head in and,
that's
like,
that's the only reason I watch it, Matt.
Well, if that's entertaining to you, then, you know.
Are you not entertained?
That will never happen, Matt, because don't you know they're actually audio animatronics?
It's a simulator.
A little bit of Disney magic. Okay, my skip don't do in Dino Land USA. I'm going to say you can skip the Boneyard, which is like a place where children can go and run, and that really describes it all. It's like a playground, and I think at one point you could dig dinosaur bones. Maybe you can still do that. Like, I remember the TGIF special Friday night when Drew Carey hosted it when Animal Kingdom first opened, and like they made a big deal about the Boneyard there. I think he was there digging up bones or something. And as a kid or young teenager, when I saw this, I was like, ooh, cool. But it's not cool. It's just like, it's kind of like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids play area. Just a place for children to go and run and a place for me to avoid. So skip that.
Well, I see the good and the bad because my nephew spent probably an hour there because they loved it. So that can be good if you want your kids to be entertained, but that can also be bad if you're like, okay, we got to go. There are other things to do and they just don't want to leave.
Yeah, but it's like you said, you can ride Primeval World at your county fair. You can play on the playground at your city park. So
it is a Disney playground, so it's better than most.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, there were things that...
It is well-themed.
Like, when you know, pull on certain ropes, like, there's a guy's voice that comes out, or when
let's
you...
just say this. It's good if you actually like children and humanity.
Exactly.
I'm sure at your local city park, there's things you can pull and a guy's voice will come out, too, so...
Hey. That's the same cast member who has the cornhole activity in the back.
Oh my, probably so.
Speaking of cornholes, my don't do this is Chester and Hester's Dino-Rama. The whole dad blasted thing. Don't do it. Just don't even go over there. When you see it, just don't. I don't care how many paragraphs Joe Rohde writes about it on the Instagram. Don't go over there.
Look at the cracks in the sidewalk.
For real.
That was literally one of his Instagrams.
I mean, it's one of those things, like, I'm glad he did that so that when I do take new people over there and they're clearly like, what in the world is this? I can say, look how authentic the cracks in the sidewalk. Do you notice we're on a road? Because it's just like, gosh, why? How do you, it's like you're embarrassed for them. You're trying to make excuses for the Midway games and the horrible, horrible county fair wild mouse roller coaster.
Ugh. Do not play those games. You have to spend money on those things.
Just don't go over there at all.
Okay.
Exit off the map. It's not there.
No, but for real, go there. Just don't play the games.
I'm so glad for the kitschiness. Wonder, praise God for kitschiness and for all of the bone-themed songs playing in the restrooms. I know that's
yeah.
fabulous and all, but yeah. For real,
digging.
It's just an embarrassment.
You got me digging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, mine is something specifically at Chester and Hester's, and this is so specific and stupid, but it's from personal experience. Don't get the churros. Okay, not all churros are created equal, I have learned, because I have always heard, oh, you have to get churros when you're at the Disney park. I think what they mean is you have to get churros when you're at Disneyland, because they said there are two places, or I read online that there are a few places to get them in Disney World, and they all taste the same, like the Frontierland cart, and then one of them is Dino Bite Snacks. Get it? Because it's like dynamite. Anyway,
dynamite.
So they said, yeah, get the churros there. It was not at all close to the best churro I've had. So I think just don't, if you know, nowadays the thing is to go online and get all the tips for here are the hidden gems you need to try. If you see something about churros, don't listen because they're really not all that great. And it was like $5 for one churro.
Yeah, you know, come to think of it, I think I've only ever gotten one churro at Disney World, and it was at Fantasmic, and it tasted like cardboard.
Yeah. I've heard the little bites that you dip in the caramel sauce at the Mexican quick service restaurant in Epcot are good, but these are not those.
I have
these
no
are
churro.
Not the churros you're looking for.
I have no opinion on churros.
Miscellaneous.
Oh, sorry. Do we even want to do this? Did you guys have
anything? Yeah, no, I do. Definitely, yes.
So you can kind of explain what this is then.
Miscellaneous is extra things that aren't necessarily categorized in a particular category. So I don't know that my answers are going to be acceptable for that, because mine are actually attractions that are found in lands we talked about. But one thing I would stress is to take time to enjoy the trails. Now, Jeremy said Maharaja Jungle Trek in Asia. I would add to that the Pangani Exploration Trail in Africa, and the exhibits, that's the official name of the attraction, in the Oasis. The Oasis being that first, when you're in the park, go through the ticket stall, there's a very long area of rock work and bamboo and trees and waterfalls, and it's all very pretty, but it's unfortunate because typically what you see when you're going through that is everybody just booking it to get to the first attraction, which is understandable. You know, you want to get your fast, well, you don't do that anymore. You want to get to the attractions and all that stuff, but just take time to go over and look at the little exhibits, because there's at least 20 or something little animal exhibits up front that nobody ever sees. And they're not like just like flamingos either. You know, there's a hog, and then there's an anteater or aardvark or whatever. And there are Komodo dragons and parrots. And then just the wonderful, elaborate rock work that is all through there is very nice. And the Pangani trails in Africa, there are hippopotamuses. Hippopotami is what you say?
Yeah, hippos.
Gorillas and lions and all those things close up. Prairie dogs. That's the most entertaining thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have
meerkats.
Currently, they have baby gorillas there as well, and they are adorable. Mm.
Listen, you're at Animal Kingdom. See the stinking animals. Like, that's why you're there.
These trails are like zoos on steroids. Because you've got like Disney style theming, like to the last detail, you know, the really wonderful exhibits, like the gorilla thing at the Pangani Exploration Trail, where there's like a swinging, suspended bridge and tons of viewing areas. You know, it's not just like a cage, and it's not even just like you've got the one dimensional like diorama with the big pit between you and the animals, but It's immersive. That's the best way to say it. All these are immersive. So do the trails. They are not a waste of time, no matter what my wife tells you.
In the miscellaneous category, mine is kind of along the same vein. And that's just in general. Notice the theming. Animal Kingdom is a beautiful park. It's so cool. Even if you don't ride anything, just take the time to look around you. I know Matt thinks some of these things are way over-themed and way too much thought went into them, like the cracks in the sidewalks. But thought definitely went into this park. Like when you're in Africa and you see all the telephone lines. Like if you, Joe Rohde has posted a few pictures of African villages he's actually visited. And it's like twice as many lines as there are in Disney World. And then you see like the bikes parked against the walls, which are, you know, very charming and like even when you go in Asia, there's that ice cream truck that looks like kind of something you'd see on the side of the road. Just everything is just so pretty. I don't know another word, but like it really is. It's so neat to look at. So don't just run by things.
Don't forget Drink Voila.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, what's the name of that spot we make fun of? Drink Voila. Oh, that's horrible. They need to change that.
Yeah.
My miscellaneous must do is take advantage of the fun character meet and greets all around Animal Kingdom. You can have the opportunity to meet some very, I don't want to use the word rare, but character meet and greets you won't have anywhere else, such as Flick from It's Tough to Be a, or It's a Bug's Life, Rafiki, Turk, Baloo, and King Louie. You know, so these are characters that you're probably not going to find at other parks, and they're only available at Animal Kingdom. And in fact, as I was thinking about it, does Mickey and Minnie meet any at anywhere in Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, they have a new area that's just for them. Well,
oh, okay.
Newish. It's like a year and a half
it's
old.
Between Discovery Island and Asia.
Yeah, but like I said, there's some fun characters. Timon sometimes is out there meeting and greeting as well. So you're not going to find these characters at any other park. So take advantage of them at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, even Mickey and Minnie, I think, have like their safari vests on, right? So
it's unique to that different. Park. Yeah.
Good one. All right, so if we're talking miscellaneous, what's something you would skip?
My miscellaneous skip, Rainforest Cafe.
Oh.
Right there at the beginning of the park. First off, so many good restaurants on Disney property. You don't need to eat at Rainforest Cafe. Why is there two Rainforest Cafes on property?
Oh, my word.
One?
Hey, and that's pretty genius, though. Listen, I've heard a lot of people here, they're like annual pass holders where I live, that go a lot. Anytime they go to Animal Kingdom, they do breakfast at Rainforest Cafe.
Wow.
Ugh.
It's like a thing. I know, we got Tusker House and Restaurantosaurus in there, all those good breakfast options. Rainforest Cafe. It is pretty, though, the big waterfall wall.
Maybe, but I'm just thinking, don't eat at a restaurant that you can eat at in most cities, because there are Rainforest Cafes in several locations around the country, right?
Yeah.
In Nashville, for one. That used to be my little escape to get a little taste of something Disney when I was in
Rainforest
Nashville.
Cafe.
I know. I went with you one time. And so, anyways,
before you understood, I think.
Yeah, but I still don't. I wouldn't equate Rainforest Cafe with Disney magic.
No.
That's more like
a taste
magic.
It's like,
it's overpriced touristy food.
And it's not even good food. Like, it's not bad.
I don't know.
Food, but
no,
it's
no,
not
no.
Good
they
food.
Used to have a barbecue chicken pizza called the Brave New World that was the best barbecue chicken pizza I have ever had. It's not no longer on the menu. They're trying. Everybody's simplifying their menus because of Robert Irvine and all this mess.
So, what would you skip, Matt?
Oh gosh, see, now I can't. I've already lost it again. I would have said Camp Minnie Mickey back in the day because it's it was boring, but it's no longer there.
No.
Thank God. I would say,
I mean, we haven't said Rafiki's Planet Watch as a whole to skip.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Did.
No, it's true, though. Even the conservation station, like, it's advertised as, you know, there are veterinarians back there doing some work on the animals. And sometimes there are. If you do happen to see that, where you take the... Okay, going back, you take the Wildlife Express train, you go to Rafiki's Planet Watch, there's a conservation station, sometimes they're behind windows that you can see them performing, like, surgeries on animals. I don't think I've ever seen that, but I think if I did, it would be worth the trip out there. But overall...
I don't want to see that.
Well...
I have seen it. They weren't doing a surgery, but they were doing, like, a physical on one
like
of the animals.
Expressing their anal glands.
Say, ah...
Something like that. But it is interesting... I'm going to disagree with something you said earlier, Matt, about not riding the train at all. I do think it is fun to ride the train because it is kind of an old rickety steam engine, and you get to see some cool things like the backstage cages. When you go back by the houses where they keep the animals at night, that's kind of cool, and you can
see. I don't want to see that.
No,
I don't either. That. That's Disney magic. I want to think that they're in the safari at night. They're out there eating each other and stuff.
yeah. And like right next to the cages, you see like the workers' 2003 Ford Taurus or whatever. It's like, I don't care about that.
I don't want to see that. That's behind the magic. I don't want to see any of that. I thought of something I could say, and it's lame, and that is as a don't do, because I think you're forced to do it, and that is the Cretaceous Trail. In Dinoland. I think you're forced to do it because I think it's actually just the exit pathway from Dinosaur down to the big Chester and Hester gift store. Or maybe it's somewhere else in there, but
no,
you know.
Yeah, I don't think you have to do it, but I also don't think it's very long.
Of all the trails there are, there's not much you can do with prehistoric dinosaurs. Now, if they actually had some really good animatronic, you know, like exhibits along the way, that would be really cool. But as it is, it's like, here's a fern, here's this flower, you know, all that's very prehistoric. And that's fabulous and all, but not worth getting its own attraction name in my book.
Yeah. I'm going to point out some of my favorite plants.
Yeah, that one.
That one.
That one. No, seriously, I'm not being facetious.
No,
it is
I
like,
know. You're being Cretaceous.
Ah!
Crustaceous. What is it?
Cretaceous. Okay. Cretaceous. That's what you are after Cali River Rapids. Cretaceous.
Yes. Well, I think it's safe to say we all enjoy Animal Kingdom, and there is definitely stuff you have to do at this park. But as we've pointed out, there are a few things you definitely don't have to do. So I think that wraps up another episode of the podcast, so I will close us off here. But, of course, you can always contact us online. We're on Twitter at Mad Chatters. We're on Facebook. You can reach us at comments@madchatters.net. We always enjoy reading those emails, so please reach out. And thanks for listening. We will see you back here next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Bye-bye now.
I'm going to send it over to Steve so we can start the show.
Okay, I'm going to have a couple of editorial notes. If you can, do you have the ability to put like a scary sound or like a thunder and lightning kind of like a sound, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you some editorial notes that I think will make this fitting, okay?
Ready? And thunder will make sense for that?
Yes. Okay. Like scary sounds, like
okay,
scary.
Okay, yes, I can do that.
I was expecting some feedback there, but there was nothing. Let's get started with today's game, In a World.
Mm.
Okay, so right there you would add the... Okay, ready? And now after that happens...
I was just going to say, I'm not going to add anything. I'm just going to let you say that.
In a world where a crazed mother attacks the taunting boys who pretend... Let me try that again. Sorry. Take two. Enlivened by mystic forces and marred by a fib-inducing facial deformity, a boy is enslaved and then transformed by the occult into animal form.
Say that again.
They're so long.
I'm sorry.
and I did it without any stuttering. Sorry, lost my place. In a world where one girl summons... Sorry. Are you
got
ready?
It. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here we go. Exactly. Twisted by the death of his mother, our hero goes on a murderous rampage, killing deer and dogs alike.
Did that one not happen in a world?
In a world where someone's twisted by the... That hurts my throat.
Oh, wait, that's it?